Only 3 minutes of the class are missing.
Only a part of the population converted to Islam, mostly because of economic pressure. But when the British came, they managed to win everybody's interest in this Western civilization that was supposedly superior. And so by the time of the birth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the intelligentsia of India were interested in becoming Westernized. And interest in the traditional culture of India was losing strength. This was a great challenge to the Vaishnavas and to Dharma in general. In order to survive, there's a need to adapt to contemporary situations. It was done in the past when Buddhism was becoming very, very prominent in India. The Vedic Brahmanas, or the traditional Brahmanas, revived their interest in philosophy. Many commentaries were written on all the schools of philosophy after Buddhism became prominent. When the Buddhists started developing their own system of logic around the first century AD, then the logicians of the traditional Brahminical school, they started writing commentaries on the ancient forgotten sutras of Gotama, and the whole medieval system of logic developed in response to, in order to save Brahminical culture from the onslaught of Buddhism. So adaptation is there. When there is threat, especially philosophical competition, then the Vedic culture has to fight back philosophically. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared at a time when the spiritual movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had become very disreputable. Although hundreds of immediate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached his doctrine, his Krishna consciousness, all over India, and it continued for several generations. At the same time, there were deviant, false representatives of Lord Chaitanya who were preaching various forms of Sahaja philosophies and practicing deviant versions of Krishna consciousness that did not truly represent the spirit and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And this became so much predominant by the beginning of the 19th century that respectable, educated people did not generally want anything to do with the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and had no respect for them. The Gaudiya Vaishnava religion was considered a perverted religion of degraded sex mongers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born into that environment, and he was born in order to fulfill the need of reviving the reputation of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He was born in such a situation in a privileged family, Bengali family who were landowners in Orissa, that he got a Western education from his childhood, learned English very well, learned English literature and how the English talk and think. And as a young man, he lived in Calcutta, where he got his later education. And he, as a young man, was living there, and he associated with the intelligentsia, with the Brahmo Samaja, which was very popular at that time, a Bengali response to Christianity, a sort of impersonal Vedic version of Christianity, and other intellectual speculative groups. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was associating in those circles, in literary circles. He was involved in writing, submitting articles to magazines. And in this Leela, although he's an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he apparently externally had forgotten his link with Krishna consciousness and was involved in speculative engagements. He was a family man, raised a big family, and worked as a civil service officer for the British government, as a magistrate and in other positions. This means that he had an English education. This was how the British conquered India economically. They took over the educational system. They established government education. And with the help of the missionaries, the Christian missionaries, they established higher educational institutions and other schools all over India that were promoting Western education. And then they set up the British civil service. And if you wanted a civil service government job, you had to have a British education. Very nice system. You know, they gave the Western education, set up schools, and then made it the system that if you wanted a good government job, you had to have the English education. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such an education, and he got good employment in the government service, raised a family. And then, in his 30s, he rediscovered his roots, Krishna consciousness. He had already, as a young man, taken initiation from a caste Goswami, Bipin Bihari Goswami. He had his Vaishnav Diksha. But he wanted to actually, when his interest was stimulated, he wanted to discover the real foundations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He wanted to study the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You wouldn't think there would be a difficulty in doing that. But he could not find. This is in the around 1860. He could not locate a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengal. You cannot imagine this nowadays. You can just walk up to the kiosk in Mayapur and take Chaitanya Charitamrita in any of a dozen languages. But it wasn't available in the original Bengali anywhere. He couldn't locate it. He finally found one copy somewhere and studied it. And then went and hired a pundit and studied Sanskrit so he could read the original Sanskrit literatures and became proficient in Sanskrit to the point he could start writing in Sanskrit. And after a few years of deep study, he became expert. And then he was associating with great Vaishnavas like Jagannath Das Babaji and others, Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. And with his association and with very sincere sadhana, he became very quickly qualified to write on the topics of Krishna consciousness. And he started producing Krishna conscious books in the 1870s. And he was writing books in Bengali, his native language, but also some in English, in Hindi even, Aryan, in Sanskrit. He was composing original Sanskrit texts with his own Bengali commentaries. He produced original books like Chaitanya Shikshamrita and many others. He produced translations. He produced an edition. He just published an edition of, in 1899, it was a little late, he published an edition of the Padma Purana, the text without any commentary, but that was also a very important task. And he preached according to the ability, as situation would allow him, circumstances. He was posted in various places in his government occupation, sometimes being transferred to other places, wherever he went. And as much as his health, which was never very good, allowed, he would preach very vigorously. He composed songs in Bengali. And we are singing those songs. The song we sing at the beginning of class is one of his best songs, Jai Radha Madhava. So very much our Krishna consciousness is founded on the literary contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Many of the songs we sing are his songs. Many of the books we read are either directly from him or coming through him. We're reading Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada's purports of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are directly based on the two different Bengali commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda, one thing he didn't have a chance to do in his life was publish the Srimad Bhagavatam. That he left to his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, to do. Bhagavad Gita. We are Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada's purports are based on the Sanskrit commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushan, but also on the Bengali translation commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So even if we don't read directly any of the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the original, a lot of what we're reading in Prabhupada's purports are coming from him. He saw the need for Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world. He knew that this was the plan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A great acharya knows what is the inner intention of the Lord. This is what makes him fit to lead the world spiritually, to be spiritual master of the world, that he knows actually what the Lord wants. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the vision to see that Lord Chaitanya intended Krishna consciousness not to just remain entrapped within India, but to spread all over the world. That Krishna is the God of all living beings, not just of the Indians. Lord Chaitanya is not just for the Bengalis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had very much that vision. And he was thinking how to expand Krishna consciousness. In the 1880s, he managed to get a transfer to Krishnanagar so that he could be near and frequently visit Sridhar Mayapur. He built a house for himself in Godrumudweep Swarup Ganj. It's still there. And there we read that sitting on his veranda looking across the Jalangi River, he had a vision that a golden city, mighty city, was rising. And I think one of his sons also saw the vision. He was looking over his porch. So he was looking directly at Sridhar Mayapur, where our Hare Iskcon Center is rising now. He also predicted in one of his books that, you know, when will the day come when Germans and Americans and Russians will all come to Sridhar Mayapur to chant together Jai Shri Chinodma. This was the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Another thing he had to deal with was the misconception promoted by self-interested temple owners that Navadvipa city was the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Although the serious Gaudiya Vaishnavas had doubt about that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did some serious investigation. He went to offices and looked at government maps. He inquired around. And he saw that actually the bank, if you looked at maps of the 18th century, the course of the Ganga had shifted. What is now Navadvip City in the early 18th century was under the water. The city didn't exist until the early 18th century, Navadvip. And then he found out from inquiring from locals that there's a place where the Muslims now dwell that's very sacred. There's a Tulsi growing over a hill, and it's a very special place. So he got the idea that maybe this is the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and he did further research to establish it, and then he brought his Shiksha Guru, Jagannath Das Babaji, although he was already, he was 140 years old or something, and he was being carried around in a basket, completely immobile, bent over. But when he was carried to that spot, after a dream, he jumped out of the basket and started dancing. He said, "This is it, yes." So therefore we pray, how's the prayer to Jagannath Das Babaji? Nirdeshta, that you are Nirdeshta, you're the one who pointed out where is the actual place of the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gora Avya Bhava Bhumestvam Nirdeshta. With the help of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji indicated the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to establish in the public eye that this is, yes, the actual Janmasthan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he wrote books to establish it. He discovered books like Prabodhananda Saraswati's Navadvipa Mahatmya and Jagadananda Pandit's Prem Vivart, in which books there is evidence of the actual location of Sri Dham Mayapur and the actual arrangement of the nine islands of Navadvipa. And he worked to develop Mayapur as a holy tirtha. He personally collected funds to build the temple of Gaur Vishnu Priya there, and did active work to promote the development of Sri Dham Mayapur. But he felt that he needed help. Therefore, he prayed to Krishna to send a ray of Vishnu, and thus, as his, I think, 10th son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took birth. And these missions, these plans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur were all carried out by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who published the Bhagavatam, who developed Mayapur on a vast scale. Gaudiya Math built practically a whole city there. The remnants of it are still there. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur ordered his son to do these things, to develop Sri Dham Mayapur, to establish Daivi Varnashram on a practical basis. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began to do that in the Gaudiya Math, by having the brahmacharis wear saffron and the grihasthas wear white to distinguish the different ashramas. Although they were Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas should not care about caste division or barn ashram division. But in order to establish, for the good of the world, the ancient original system of varnashram, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started to organize it within the Gaudiya Math. And the intention was that the Varnas also be divided and identified. That Prabhupada has left as his unfinished business that ISKCON still has to carry out to establish the complete system of Daiva Varnashram. There's a letter from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 1922. It can't be 1922, 1912, in which these orders are given. Another order is that you must see, Jagannath wants to have his Vatiyatra in London. He must see that this is arranged. Yeah, that Lord Jagannath wants to travel to London. So you have to arrange that also. So all these things were carried out by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and then Prabhupada finished, or brought it all over the world. There's still unfinished work to be done. This is the work, the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He laid the foundation, made all the plans, and then his followers Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, they carried them out. So this is what we're left with, this legacy and not quite finished mission. Krishna consciousness has to be established around the world.
Then you have to build a finished house.
Finish which? The house?
No,
the house everybody can live in? Okay. Yeah. We may be spreading, but we have to be sure that what we're spreading is pure Krishna consciousness. You know, it's one thing to spread all over the world like wildfire, but we don't want to burn the world down in the process. Yeah, we don't want to burn everybody out. We have to. What we're spreading should be pure Krishna consciousness. We have to become pure, so that we can finish this task of carrying out the mission of this great soul, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Hare Krishna. Anybody have anything else to add? I mean, there are lots of things I didn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Take the microphone. No, take the mic so it can be recorded.
Anyway, this is from Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama. Bhaktivinoda was really desperate to really. Navadvipa was all completely lost and covered. And Bhaktivinoda did not know many. He established his house in Godramadvipa and he was meditating, he was chanting, but
he was taking walks. He was walking all over the place.
He was walking all over the place, but he could not see any places. Yes. And once he came to Naimisharanya, where this Lord Shiva is sitting under the water. There's Shiva Vahana. Maybe you remember the story when in this Naimisharanya was Bhagavatam, Guru Bhagavatam was being taught. Lord Shiva tried to reach from heavenly planets to that place quickly, and his bull was too slow for that, so he grabbed Brahma's swan, and he came on the swan to that place to listen to Guru Bhagavata. And he's so hot listening to Bhagavatam and Guru Bhagavatam. All the year he's sitting under the water. Only once a year for a few days they pick him up on the Vahana and they worship him nearby village. So he's sitting under the water in a lake, small lake, I mean, it's very not deep, but he's there. And next to the lake is the big banyan tree, and in its roots is Shiva's deity, small deity like this. So there Bhaktivinoda sat. He just was so desperate, he was crying, sitting 7-8 days, not eating anything. Somehow ended up under this tree. And finally Lord Shiva, who is very merciful, came out of the water in this lake. And he said, "Why are you crying, Baba?" And Bhaktivinoda said, "See, my mission is to reestablish Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I cannot see anything. I just discovered a few places, but all the past 10 places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are still hidden from my eyes." And Lord Shiva said, "No, my devotee should not cry." And he took Bhaktivinoda personally by the hand that Japata Kamaraj was telling to all the places. He showed him around all Nodiva Mandala. And then Bhaktivinoda sat down and wrote, made the maps and everything. So by pleasing Lord Shiva, he got this access. Shiva, who is Bhagavatam devotee.
So someone who has weak faith in our sampradaya may criticize Bhaktivinoda Thakur, made up things, exaggerated and plagiarized and made up fictions in order to prove what he wanted to prove. But be careful. In criticizing, if Lord Shiva was showing him it personally, then you know, and everything was revealed in such a way, then we have no business to stick our nose in it. You know, these are super world, super mundane personalities. We should be very careful to criticize them as if they were on our level. Okay, anything else?
Dr. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the order to Bhaktisiddhanta to establish Dadi Ganashram, and Prabhupada also had the same order in mind. Why is it that it seems so much easier to establish the ashrams and so much harder to establish the varnas? Like, you know.
Well, I mean, a grahastha doesn't mind admitting it. Yeah, it's not like a brahmachari is, you know, going to be hiding a wife in a family somewhere and pretend to be a brahmachari. There's nothing, you know, Prabhupada made it respectable to be a grihastha. You know, you can still be a devotee and be a grihastha. But devotees are supposed to be brahmanas. What is, how can you be a Vaishnava and then be a Shudra? It's hard for devotees to accept, that I'm going to be anything less than the best. Many devotees, have to become Manjaris, or, they can't even think of becoming less than that. What does become a Brahmin? Yeah, I got to be at least a Brahmin. So it's ego. We're struggling with false ego. Nobody wants to be less than the best. So therefore, it's hard to get anyone to accept this Varnashram designation until it finally gets through to everyone that there's nothing degrading about being something other than a Brahmin. A real Shudra is proud of being a Shudra. I'm loyal and I'm industrious. I'm proud that my family is Shudras. They've been Shudras for generations and we're proud of it. But that kind of culture develops over generations. Nowadays, we're living in the modern culture where everyone's supposed to be as good as everybody else. With our democracy and our socialism and everything else, and our pluralism and our, so it's hard for us to accept any hierarchical culture. It's against the modern grain. So that's what we're struggling against, and therefore there's a lot of resistance, even among our ISKCON devotees. So it'll take time. It has to start some foundational development. Varnashram has to start from the top, not from the bottom or the middle. Although cow protection is extremely important, you're not going to establish Varnashram just by buying some cows and a piece of land. It has to start from Brahmins. If the Brahmins aren't there to give spiritual and intellectual guidance, then it doesn't work. It falls apart. Even if you spend lots of money buying big farms and buying lots of cows, and 10 years later the cows will be starving and you'll have to mortgage the land. Unless you first of all develop real Brahmins. It's okay if we don't need Varnashrama, then okay, we're just going to all chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. But if you want to establish Varnashrama, it has to start with Brahminical culture. That's not easy, because Brahmins, to develop a Brahmin is a big investment. It takes time and even money to make a Brahmin, to make somebody into a Brahmin. A functional Brahmin with Shama, Dhamak, Tapak, Shautam, and all everything else. And a Shastric education. That's not a small task. So you want to really develop on a strong foundation. That's what you need. Solid, thorough educational systems to develop it. It doesn't just happen, even by throwing money around, it doesn't happen without proper training. That's why it hasn't happened yet. It's a big task, and it will take generations. All we can do now is try to get started on a proper basis. So don't be disappointed that it didn't happen before, that in the Gaudiya Math they didn't have the Varnas, and even in ISKCON we don't have them yet. It'll take time. Especially nobody wants to be labeled yet, so we have to start organizing it without putting labels on anybody. Okay, define the functions and the labels can come later. Okay, so I guess we can stop here. All glories to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Thank you.